Alaska Airlines office workers get a new contract deal. Embraer stands up a new defense division. And KCX is coming, but KC-135s aren't going away. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Thursday, December 16th, 2010. The International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers, District 143, has announced a tentative contract agreement with Alaska Airlines covering 2,600 clerical, office, and passenger service employees. Jackie Fay, the District 143 General Chairperson and Chief Negotiator, commented, quote, "This agreement provides our members the wages they deserve and the job security they demanded. The IAM Negotiating Committee is unanimously recommending membership ratification," unquote. The proposed three-year deal reportedly improves wages, enhances job security, and includes a $1,500 signing bonus. It also holds the line on health care costs for employees and provides for a program allowing reservations employees to work from home. There are also performance-based pay incentives and improved productivity measures. The new agreement would become amendable January 1, 2014. A ratification schedule is being developed. Brazilian plane maker Embraer has created Embraer Defense and Security, which the company says is an important step in consolidating its central position in the process of strengthening Brazil's defense and security industry. Embraer CEO Frederico Fleury Curado observes, quote, "Brazil has a growing relevant role. Embraer, with its technological industrial capabilities and 40 years of experience in defense programs both in Brazil and abroad, is fully committed to support the Brazilian government in ensuring the advanced technological base the country needs," unquote. Embraer's current chief financial officer, Luis Carlos Aguiar, will be the president of Embraer Defense and Security. More than 30 defense forces worldwide operate with Embraer products and systems. We're supposed to be just days away from official news on the award of the U.S. Air Force's KCX tanker contract, which will produce new planes to replace the Eisenhower-era KC-135s that are still in use. But there will still be 135s flying for years to come, and the Air Force has awarded a contract worth up to $250 million to continue sim training for 135 crews for another 10 years. CAE will provide aircrew training services at 13 Air Force bases in the United States and internationally, where more than 3,500 KC-135 pilots, co-pilots, and boom operators train every year. More than 400 of the vintage tankers remain in service worldwide. Up next on ANN, the world's first civilian MiG-29 is flying. Shell Aviation is expanding in India. And Lufthansa adds to its CFM56 collection. You're listening to Aero News.
Freedom through control. Cirrus has completely reinvented the personal aircraft and the entire experience of owning a personal aircraft. It's a bold new take on private aviation that we call Cirrus Flying 2.0. You set the schedule. You chart the course. You're in control.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single-lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3222.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for December 16th. I'm Paul Platt. A private military aircraft importer says it completed the world's first flights of a privately owned MiG-29 Fulcrum last week. Air USA claims it made aviation history December 10th. Don Curlin, a naval aviator and commercial airline pilot, who is president and founder of Air USA, commented, quote, "Believe it or not, it's not easy getting a MiG-29 into the United States and flying. Natasha may be the first, but we have three more," unquote. Ex-Air Force pilot and instructor Fred Spanky Clifton was the pilot for the flights. He flew F-5s, F-15s, and F-16s before becoming an exchange pilot, flying MiG-29s with the German Luftwaffe. Natasha is destined to join Air USA's fleet of Aero L-39, L-59, Alpha Jet, and MiG-21 aircraft, which are used to train U.S. warfighters. The company says the MiG-29 remains the most dangerous enemy aircraft to U.S. troops around the world today. Air USA was formed in 1994 and launched its military division in 1999. Shell Aviation is among companies betting on a bright future for aviation in India. The company has announced that it is expanding its operations across India to provide airlines fuel at 12 airports. The company began operations at Bangalore and Hyderabad in 2008. Shell MRPL Aviation Fuels and Services Private Limited, a joint venture between Shell and Mangalore Refinery and Petrochemicals Limited, have signed the new deals. Shell is currently the only multinational oil company with a government license to market aviation fuels in India. Deutsche Lufthansa has selected the CFM56-5B to power 21 Airbus A320s and two Airbus A321s in a firm engine order valued at about $300 million U.S. at list prices. The companies announced the agreement jointly on Tuesday. The aircraft will be operated by Lufthansa Airlines and Swiss International and are scheduled for delivery from 2013 through late 2014. The order for the planes was previously announced in September. Lufthansa and Swiss have a total of 486 CFM engines in their operational fleets. Still ahead, cold weather in Florida hurts crops and NASA. Lockheed Martin will pack for future space cargo missions. And here's a job that probably looks awesome on your resume. You're listening to Aero News.
Piperjet.
Hypersport.
Pipermatch.
Global expansion.
Meridian, Mirage, Matrix, and more.
With so much happening at Piper, how can I possibly keep up?
Get informed. Get involved at facebook.com/piperaircraft.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Thursday, December 16th. I'm Paul Platt. The crazy cold weather in Florida this week is being blamed in part for slowing work to get the shuttle Discovery ready to go for mission STS-133. Technicians need to test repairs made to cracks in aluminum stringers on the external fuel tank. A decision has been made to move Discovery back into the vehicle assembly building to allow additional testing, including image scans and X-rays. Managers plan to have Discovery back on the launch pad in January, ahead of its next launch opportunity, which is no earlier than February 3rd. NASA has awarded a contract with a potential value of $171 million for support of International Space Station cargo mission services. That award goes to Lockheed Martin. The contract will support planning, coordination, preparation, and packing of standardized containers for cargo missions to the station. A 3-month phase-in period and the 3-year basic period of the cost-plus award fee contract have a total estimated value of $85 million. The contract phase-in period begins in a few days on January 1st. 4 1-year extension options could be worth an additional $86 million. Work on the contract will be performed at NASA's Johnson Space Center in Houston and at other locations in Texas. NASA has awarded another contract worth about $622,000 to Pratt & Whitney Rocketdyne, directing the company to conduct systems analysis and trade studies for heavy lift launch vehicle systems concepts, propulsion technologies, and affordability. The company will help NASA lay the groundwork for a flexible space transportation system that could deliver humans to asteroids, the moon, Mars, and beyond. And finally today, NASA Administrator Charles Bolden has named Waleed Abdelati the agency's chief scientist. Abdelati will serve as Bolden's principal advisor on agency science programs, strategic planning, and the evaluation of related investments. Abdelati is currently the director of the Earth Science and Observation Center at the University of Colorado at Boulder. He's also an associate professor in the university's geography department. Between 1998 and 2008, Abdelati held various positions at NASA in the areas of scientific research, program management, and scientific management. His research is focused on the study of polar ice cover using satellite and airborne instruments. He has led or participated in 9 field and airborne campaigns in the Arctic and the Antarctic. Abdelati's new gig starts on January 3rd. I don't know anything else about the job, but the business card has to be really impressive. Chief Scientist, NASA. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, Elon Musk of SpaceX responds to questions about how the success of last week's COTS demo flight might allow jumping ahead on the schedule to dock the Dragon spacecraft with the International Space Station. And if you haven't gotten around to it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. That's Aero spelled A-E-R-O. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.